Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Gina R., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Green Valley, Arizona. Today is Thursday, December 27th, 2018. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are at page XX, the foreword to the second edition, second paragraph, beginning, Alcoholics Anonymous is not a religious, reading through three paragraphs, concluding, High Road to Freedom, commenting on all three paragraphs. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Cindy D., 12 Traditions, Melissa C.K. Our readers will be John K., Tessa Q., and Wendy M., and our newcomer greeter is Melanie C. The reference numbers for Wednesday, December 26, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, is 12,346, and today, Thursday, December 27th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, 12,350. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Cindy D. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning, everyone. This is Cindy D., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Texas. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you, Cindy D. I will now ask Melissa C.K. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Melissa C.K. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Chattanooga, Tennessee. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for allowing me to do service. Pass.
Thank you, Melissa C.K. Okay, here's how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, please make sure you are not using a speakerphone. Speak directly into your phone or headset. Press star 1 to unmute. It is not necessary to ask if you can be heard, as I will let you know if there is an issue. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page XX, forward to the second edition, beginning with the second paragraph, which starts, Alcoholics Anonymous is not a religious, reading through three paragraphs, concluding with High Road to Freedom. We'll comment on all three of those paragraphs. And I will now ask John Kay to begin reading.
Thanks, Gina. This is John Kiernan, recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. Alcoholics Anonymous is not a religious organization. Neither does AA take any particular medical point of view, though we cooperate widely with the men of medicine as well as the men of religion. Alcohol is no respecter of persons. We are an accurate cross-section of America, and in distant lands, the same democratic evening up process is now going on.
Like a major addiction to S&M, lesbian porn torture. I do things that might be painful. I do.
Well, let's see if we can get this guy. Okay. I'm going to take this back up from the beginning. Alcoholics is not a religious organization. Neither does AA take any particular medical point of view, though we cooperate widely with the men of medicine as well as the men of religion. Alcohol is no respecter of persons. We are an accurate cross-section of America. And in distant lands, the same democratic evening up process is now going on. By personal religious affiliation, we include Catholics, Protestants, Jews, Hindus, and a sprinkling of Muslims and Buddhists. More than 15% of us are women. At present, our membership is pyramiding at a rate of about 20% a year. So far, upon the total problem of several million actual and potential alcoholics in the world, we have made only a scratch. In all probability, we shall never be able to touch more than a fair fraction of the alcohol problem in all its ramifications. Upon therapy for the alcoholic himself, we surely have no monopoly, yet it is our great hope that all those who have yet found no answer may begin to find one in the pages of this book and will presently join us on the high road to a new freedom. I find the one thing that jumped out at me when he was putting down some statistics was that there's 15% women. Well, realize this is 15% in 1955, 20 years after the founding, when this foreword was written. You know, it helps me realize, you know, why this book is so male-oriented in some of its wording. I mean, how many women were there in 1937? 1%, maybe? I don't know. And I'm sure even then in 1955, people probably winced at some of the readings in the book, like Our Women Folk. And, you know, I'm sure if it was possible to change it, they would. But the trouble we have is if we try and change any of the first 164 pages, you would cause an immediate schism. You know, you'd have people, I'm a new big book person, I'm an old big book person. I mean, I saw this when we changed editions a while back. And so I always tell newcomers, please, try and put some of these things into the context of the time they were written. You know, I'll give you a couple of statistics, and some of you might have heard these on the early meeting. But I'll give you some about AA. In 2014, AA did a survey and found that there were 2.1 million members, you know, and 1.3 million are U.S. residents. Now, it's still a fraction, as they said. There are 115,000 groups. Bill would have been happy with 115,000 people, you know. But here's the important thing I wanted to get to. 62% are women, 62% are men, and 38% are women. That 15% has bumped up quite a bit. Sadly, you know, AA is still predominantly white, 89% white, 4% Hispanic, 3% black. It, you know, it's just sort of an interesting thing. And I actually went, just because I was interested in this, to go look at some of the OA statistics. They did a survey in 2017. I found that 87% of OA are female and 13% are male. Something I could have told you. The other thing I love was I've always said I really, in my interactions in OA, I've felt that we tend to be more intelligent, you know, and I'm not, you know, and as it turns out, not necessarily college thing, is it? You know, thing of intelligence, but 94% of us have some college, or even like 40% college graduates, 32% postgrad. It just says, you know, that you can't think your way out of this. Sadly, we're even whiter than OA. We're 91% white, 4% Hispanic, 1% black. But the important thing that jumped out at me is also 77% of OA people are over 45. Now, I'm sure we could do a better job with getting the younger people in, and I think there were more younger people when I came in, but that could be wrong. But I think it also says something important. You have to have exhausted all of the easier, softer ways before you're ready, and I think a lot of people aren't when they're in 20s. I know I wouldn't have been. I just love one last thing. AA is not a religious organization. I had to get that beaten into my head. Anyway, with that, I pass.
Thank you so much for getting us kicked off, John. Okay, the lines will now be open for anybody who would like to share on these three paragraphs, and we'd especially love to hear from newcomers today. Who would like to share? Please press star one.
Hi, this is Sue. Can you hear me?
Hi, Sue. What's your last initial?
It's M. Oh, well, I'm not a real newcomer. I am going through the steps with my sponsor. So should I not?
Okay, we're taking names to share. So you can share in just a minute. I'm going to get some more names, and I'll call on you in just a second.
Oh, sure.
Who else
Sorry.
Besides Sue would like to share?
Kathleen O.
Kathleen O.
Jennifer W.
W. Jennifer W.
Sunny S.
Sunny S. Who else? I'll take a couple more in this grouping. Press star one. Julie E.B.
Sherry K.B.
W.F.
Julie E.B. and Sherry K.B. All right, that's what I've got. So here's the lineup. Sue M., Kathleen O., Jennifer W., Sunny S., Julie E.B., and Sherry K.B. Okay, Sue, please go ahead, and I am timing you.
Hi.
Sue?
Yes.
There you go.
Can you hear me?
No, you're very faint. You're very faint. Don't use the speakerphone. Speak right into the...
Okay, is this better?
Much better. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much, and thank you for your service, and thank you, everyone, for being here. Yes, I guess what I two things. First of all, yes, it's not a religious organization, and and the membership. You know, there are so many. And I know that for many, many, many years, I was desperate, but I wouldn't join any. I had heard of OA, but I wouldn't even investigate it because I had a relative in OA, and I felt the relative was such a bad example that it was like, nope, don't talk to me about OA. And so I'm really sad that prejudice, you know, turned me off for so long. And actually I came to OA, I had gone to another food-related 12-step group. And it was only with that I was starting to, you know, drop some of the, some of my prejudice. So I'm very thankful that OA is still around. It didn't wait for me to drop, you know, my prejudices, and that it's for everybody. And it's whether it's and for alcoholics or for compulsive overeaters, it's men, women, you know, age, whatever. I'd like to see more younger people, because I know, you know, just because I know that although I didn't look it in my earlier years, I was a compulsive overeater then. I was an addictive personality, and I'd like to see more people, you know, realize. And I think A Vision for You is wonderful because it's not all loosey-goosey. It shows people how, you know, it takes us through the steps, and it shows us what to do, and I'm grateful for that. The other thing is religion is, again, I have my own religious beliefs. Other people have their own. And so, and it would be a clash if there were, you know, different, but it's not, it's a spiritual program. We are asked to find a higher power, but it's a higher power of our own belief. And, you know, we each have to find that higher power. I can't do it for you, and you can't do it for me. So I'm just very grateful for this meeting and for being here. And with that, I will pass. Thank you. And I will mute.
Thank you, Sue M. Okay, we've got Kathleen O. up next, followed by Jennifer W. Kathleen, please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you, Gina. Thank you for your service this morning, and nice to be on the line with everybody this morning. So Alcoholics Anonymous is not, Kathleen O., recovered compulsive overeater in Northern California. Alcoholics Anonymous is not a religious organization, neither does AA take any particular medical point of view, though we cooperate widely with the men of medicine as well with the men of religion. And, of course, today that would be men and women of medicine and religion. But, you know, thank goodness that it's not a religious organization, because if it was just an organization for the Protestants or the Jews or the Hindus or the Catholics, it would be an exclusive group, and it wouldn't be an answer for anyone. And so this really is about being all-inclusive and never exclusive. And the part about more than 15% of us are women, you know, when John gave those statistics, it's interesting because when this was read at the beginning, I was thinking, you know, in my meetings, the majority of the women, or the majority of the people in the room are women, middle-aged, educated, and white. And I don't know if that's because, you know, the higher percentages have to do with being educated, is having access to what, you know, to finding these things. I don't know. But it's just interesting. And maybe it takes, you know, maybe for me, it just took me getting older. I would have loved to have been able to get this at a young age. I came into OA in my 20s, and I heard God too much, and I walked out. And that was unfortunate, because this really, you know, once I started reading this book, there's God is sprinkled throughout this book. But it's also, the point is made that it's a higher power of our understanding. And ultimately, this is a relationship between what makes this work for me is my relationship, the relationship between me and the higher power of my understanding. Well, I have no problem calling God now, because to me, that covers anyone's definition of their higher power. You know, good orderly direction, there's all sorts of acronyms for it too. And that last sentence, yet it is our great hope that all those who have as yet found no answer may begin to find one in the pages of this book and will presently join us on the road, on the high road to a new freedom. And, you know, this is letting us know there is a solution. And all we have to do is pick up the spiritual tools that are laid at our feet. We're going to be rocketed into a fourth dimension. And we're going to have this relationship with the higher power. And then we get to, you know, pass it on it to help other people really establish and find a relationship with their higher power, because that's how we ultimately
time.
Also solve all our problems. And thank you, I pass.
Thank you, Kathleen O. Okay, Jennifer W., you are up next. You'll be followed by Sunny S. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Okay, hello. My name is Jennifer, calling from Sweden. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, good. Yeah, thank you so much for the reading and previous shares. I also going to talk a little bit about the religion because I see myself as a newcomer because, I came into the room of OA about 10 years ago. And when I came there, I sort of got really scared when I saw God everywhere. And I thought that it was a religious sect and that it was really weird, the format of OA. And I guess I wasn't ready. So I have been out and in, and now I'm in, and I see myself as a newcomer, listening to other people who is walking before me. And I like the fact that it's so many different kinds of people within the 12 steps programs. And I don't really know the last name of them. I don't know what people do for a living. I don't really care in that sense. The most important thing is that how you feel and that there are people that sort of you talk from your heart, and then the other sides, like shallow things as education and facades and all of that, is not as important. And I guess to me before, that was more important, the facades and all. And now I see that it's not in the same way. So I'm really glad that that now I can see, I'm really happy that it has a spiritual part where I can find my high power, which is the one sort of which I choose. And then you can sort of pick and choose from religion, because I think that religions are just the same thing, but from different angles. And there are a lot of nice things. Take what you want and leave the rest. So that's, I think, is really nice. So thanks. I'll stop there.
Okay. Thank you, Jennifer W. Okay, Sunny S., you are up next, followed by Julie E.B. Please go ahead, Sunny. Sunny, press star 1 to unmute. Okay, Julie, are you ready to go?
Hi, this is Sunny S. Sorry about that.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you. My name is spelled S-A-N-N-E, and I am in Colorado. I really appreciate this opportunity to share this morning. For me, what resonated was the last sentence, you know, when it talks about, if I haven't found an answer, I may begin to find one in these pages. And it was true for me, you know, in terms of, like, not having an answer after trying everything there was in my book, you know, in terms of, like, you know, starting again on Mondays. You know, if I start on Mondays, then maybe I can stick with it. I don't know, going on a trip, you know, that will fix it. If I go to the beach, I'll want a bikini body, so why would I eat then? You know, setting a goal, becoming a model. Like, there was just so many different things that I tried just to have that answer. You know, how can I stop compulsively overeating? And for me, there was one moment, too, where I just wanted to sell myself to, like, the acting world so that I would have an agent who would be on top of me all the time, you know, telling me what to eat and stopping me if I wanted, you know, to binge. So I got really desperate at one point, and especially at the end. So when I walked into these rooms, I really was down to my knees. You know, I was open to anything at that point. And it's interesting how I did find a solution, you know, in complete abstinence. You know, some people might see my abstinence as being very restrictive and strict, and yet just having that solid base to find clarity was just really important for me in the beginning. And so, and still now, 3 years later. So I have a solid abstinence. You know, I found clarity. And then it's interesting how emotional sobriety played such a huge role in this too, you know, to stay in the right path. I mean, I do daily tens where I talk about my resentments, the anger that's coming up, or a fear, you know, a projection being in the future, like, oh my God, is this going to happen? You know, how am I going to handle if this X, Y, and Z thing happens? And yet having tens really helps me stay in the present. And, you know, the best example that I can give was I would do, you know, I had to do several tens in terms of my dad. My dad, unfortunately, is still lost in alcoholism. And, you know, the texts that he would send, they were just mean and hurtful. And, you know, I would call up and say, I can't believe he said that, and just be really upset. And then realizing, wow, you know, he's not meeting my script of this wanting this loving dad who's always there for me. And, you know, I moved away slowly, you know, but surely, moved away from that anger and resistance of him being who he is to, oh, wow, there's grief, you know, there's loss. And it's interesting how I went from feeling very tight in my body, from wanting something that wasn't happening for me, to something that was gentle and kind. Hi. Oh, I think I could sit with this grief. Thank you for the time.
Thank you, Sunny S. Julie E.B., you are up next, followed by Sherry K.B. Please go ahead, Julie.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered by the grace of God in Colorado Springs. Just really wanted to share today on the reading, especially the end part, our great hope that all those who have yet found no answer may begin to find one in the pages of this book, and will presently join us on the high road to new freedom. When I came into this program, I did not have freedom. I was trapped in my own body. I was trapped by, you know, hundreds of pounds. I was trapped by illness, the problems that came with it. And I was trapped by my thoughts. You know, someone in a meeting recently said, I would take the 10 seconds of relief the food gave me just to have a small break from my thoughts, you know, what the big book calls the brainstorm, or then I call someone else and talk about my problems. And that would be what I call the talk storm. And, you know, I couldn't imagine that there was a freedom out there because life was happening to me. All these things. And I got in that mode yesterday. My kid home from college, and I got three teenagers in the house, and oh my gosh, you know, they're not happy, and that must be me. And I was getting into the place where I was so full of self-pity, dishonest, and self-seeking motives, you know, that I couldn't really see it. And what a blessing to be able to release that now, to use 10 step this morning and be not so alone and meet someone that's in a similar situation that only my higher power could ally, and begin to find a new freedom. So now I have freedom. And I loved when I was first reading this book, when I came upon the just internet definition, freedom. What does it mean to have freedom? The power or right to act, speak, or think as one wants without hindrance or restraint. See, I thought I had freedom in the food when I was eating whatever I wanted, but actually there was constant mental fog. There was hindrance and restraint by all the time it took to think about my thoughts around food, and also to be in myself instead of being of service to other people. And so, and then absence of subjugation, the people in its domination, people in its world dominated us, the big book said. And that's what I allowed to slip into yesterday. People in the world don't dominate, are not to dominate me. I can focus on myself and focus on what I can give. And when I can, I can turn my, can't do anything for those people, especially family around me. I can turn my attention to someone I can help that shares this suffering and needs this freedom. Thanks for letting me share. And I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. Sherry K.B. is next, but let me tell everybody where we are. We are on page XX, the forward to the second edition, the second paragraph beginning, Alcoholics Anonymous is not a religious, reading through three paragraphs concluding High Road to Freedom, and we're commenting on all. And I'll collect a new grouping after Sherry K.B. shares. Please go ahead, Sherry.
Thank you, Gina. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry K.B. in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive reader. Thank you so much for your service, Gina, and everybody on the line, and welcome newcomers. And, you know, Kathleen O stole all what I was going to say, so I have to find something else to talk about here with us. What occurred to me was that, this is from 1955. The forward to the second edition is 1955. And what was 1955 like back in the day? I mean, this is so interesting to me because, you know, they did put women after. I find it interesting that they put the women after, you know, the affiliations and all this other stuff. And 15% were women. And, you know, that's how that was back then. And it's good to remember the history and how far I've come. And also just the fact that, you know, it's mentioned about that we are not an organized religion. That there's no, and what comes up for me is, you know, compulsive overeating has no respecter for anybody. You know, it's across the board. It doesn't care who you are, where you come from, what background you have, what education, you know, what culture you are. It doesn't care. It doesn't care at all. And I think, too, that what was said earlier in the earlier meeting, somebody had quoted that, you know, this is a disease that kicks you to death like a bunny rabbit. And that's for sure. That's what it does to us. It just, it's death on the layaway plan. It's, you know, eating, digging your grave with a fork. And just the fact that it tells me that, you know, whatever background I have, it doesn't matter. But if the word God scares me and it pushes me out of the rooms of OA, well, I guarantee you the food's going to certainly bring you back in, is what happens. So it's a choice to me. It's like, do I want to get scared by the word God, or do I want to just live, you know, dying in the food, face down in it? Or do I want to be face down in recovery in this book? That's what I'd like to be, is face down in recovery in this book. And it also talks about we have no monopoly on therapy. And that's what I appreciate, too, is like it's saying, you know, do whatever you need to do. But if you want the solution are the 12 steps. And the way to is back into the solution is getting back in the directions in this book. And that, you know, that's how we get the solution is by working the steps. And then just, you know, people talk about being recovered on this line, and what that really means to me is that the obsession has been removed, because you know what, I can't remove this obsession. I've tried for decades, and it doesn't work. Only the steps and getting unblocked to get connected with my higher power is going to do that. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry KB. All right, we're ready for another grouping. Please press star 1 if you'd like to share, and I'm ready to take some names.
Leia S.
Leia S.
Mo H.
Mo H.
Maggie Rose.
Marissa E.
M. Maggie, somebody, and then Marissa E. What was that?
Maggie Rose M.
Maggie Rose M, okay. So I've got Leia S, Mo H, Maggie Rose
Michelle.
M, Marissa E. Who is that?
Michelle L.
Michelle L, okay. Anyone else? Okay, let's go with this, and then we'll see how we are at the end. We've got Leia S, Mo H, Maggie Rose M, Marissa E, and Michelle L. Leia, please go ahead.
Thank you so much. Thank you, moderator, for such a wonderful, wonderful service and meeting. I'm not going to repeat anything new, but I just wanted to get on and just voice my own. Wow. I just want to talk about a new freedom. Just these three words, a new freedom. For all those who are coming into this program, and we are up to the foreword of the second edition, and this is really a synopsis of what this book is all about, what this program is all about. And most likely, you're not going to get everything that we're talking about if you're new to this line or new to this program. But keep on coming, because if it in one thing interests you, just one thing that people have kept their weight off, that I have kept my weight off for 4 years, 65 pounds, that I have, that I am normal, that I am able to deal with life as life comes along, that in all this monopoly of people, and there is potential, there is hope. This is only just a scratch. Oh my goodness, these words are just, you know, rubbing off on me. It's just a scratch, because people out there, not everybody is a person who is righteous or who is going to do the right thing. And I'm able to deal with that. I'm able to come through without eating over it. The new freedom that I have from the food that used to consume me, it is more than just the foods. It is more than just the tranquility that I feel. It is more than just the courage or the faith or the dignity that I display when I need to. And when I have to, it is all through the grace of God. And it is all by listening and working these steps. Every single day, I find out new things. 4 years, well, 5 years. But every day, I find new things. And this is a God-honest truth. Thank you for letting me share. My best.
Thank you, Leah S. Okay, Mo H., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Maggie Rose M. Mo, please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, Gina, and thank you for your service to this meeting, and welcome to all those on the line and any newcomers. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. And that quote that's on page 568 jumped into my head as someone was sharing. You know, this is a principle which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, and which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. That principle is contempt prior to investigation. And that just jumped into my mind when I heard everyone talking about, you know, the coming in and the religion, thinking this is a religious organization, and all the talk about God. And so contempt prior to investigation, you know, not just giving it a chance. So my deal coming in was I was looking for something spiritual and not religious. And I came in kind of like differently than people, because I had left the church of my origin and was just searching. And my time in OA, not necessarily studying the big book, really helped me to come back to my church of origin. So I was like the backwards case. So, you know, stay in the rooms, even if it's the talk about God and all of that is bothering you, but it's really, really, really a spiritual thing. And then the last piece I want to comment on is, yes, that last piece, our great hope is that all those who have yet found no answer may begin to find one in these pages of this book. And I found my answer in the pages of this book. It wasn't until my recent sponsor of about three years ago, I was binging my head off and could not stop. And she introduced me to studying the big book. And I feel I was saved by studying this book. And I'm hoping that by helping other people, they'll presently join us on the high road to a new freedom. And I'll tell you, I have such a new freedom around food. I kind of amaze myself sometimes. I've just gone through maybe 5 months of terrible, terrible pain and agony, and I was not, food was not going to help me with that, was not going to fix it. And I was so grateful that I was able to continue to listen to these meetings and remain abstinent through all of that. And I wish you all well and a happy Thursday. And with that, I'll pass, Gina. Thank you.
And thank you, Mo H. All right, Maggie Rose M., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Marissa E. Please go ahead, Maggie Rose.
This is Maggie Rose from Vancouver, British Columbia, a compulsive overeater. The thing I wanted to comment on was a place where it says, we shall never be able to touch more than a fair fraction of the alcohol problem and all of its ramifications. And I was just thinking about what a blessing it is for those of us who are here in this program, and and certainly we hope that continues to grow. But there is such a problem in our society of obesity and other ramifications of our disease of compulsive overeating. And they call obesity a epidemic, and the portion of people that are in illness such as diabetes or so many things as a result of being compulsive or as a result of their weight. I can't say whether they're compulsive overeaters, but it is such it's sadness in a way that this everybody can't find this program, but for those of us who have just the joy and of that freedom. And that, as somebody who's just coming back from a relapse, just so grateful that there is a way, and a way that I know works. And I'm just hope that others, at least a small portion of all those others out there in the world, can find us. And I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Maggie Rose M. All right, Marissa E., you're up next. You'll be followed by Michelle L. Please go ahead, Marissa.
Thank you, Gina. Good morning, my fellows. This is Marissa E. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater outside Los Angeles. Yet it is our great hope that all those who have yet found no answer may begin to find one in the pages of this book. I remember I was on social media, and there was a funny recovery post, and it said, there is a solution to alcoholism, and it's secretly hidden in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous in a chapter titled, There is a Solution. And, that sums up my past 10 years in OA, right? Just looking, seeking, listening, doing workshops, and at the same time, I was looking everywhere else but this book, right? And then, a couple months back, I started to look into this book, and I found an answer. And it's so funny, in the chapter, There is a Solution. I had to learn what my problem is, the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind. I had to know what the solution was, and it talks about, it's a deep and effective spiritual experience. And then I have to know, how do I get that solution? And it's the practical program of action, right? The steps, this spiritual toolkit that you lay at my feet. I'm so grateful that that someone led me to this. Right. I spent 10 years just looking everywhere else but this book. And now that I have it, I do have freedom and I do have neutrality. And now I'm showing others like, hey, look in here. Right. Look at the doctor's opinion. Look at Bill's story. Look at There is a Solution, and just helping them get onto this high road. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Marissa E. Okay, Michelle L., you're next, and I'll be able to take maybe one or maybe two people after Michelle shares. Please go ahead, Michelle.
Hi there. Good morning, Gina. Thank you for your service. This is Michelle L., recovering compulsive overeater in Delaware. And I was listening to the speaker who read the passage and thinking about the statistics, and I'm right on schedule. I was 45 years old when I came into OA, and that was 6 years ago. And I was just pondering a little bit, where would I be now if I hadn't come in when I did? I can't even imagine what my life would have been like now, because I was trying to doggy paddle along, but it was less there. It wasn't sustainable what was happening, and I knew that, and I believe I did hit a spiritual bottom when I came in. Physically, I probably could limped along for a few more years, but that would have been catching up with me soon as well. And I do love that this is not a religious organization. I was pretty desperate when I came in, so I didn't. I was a little concerned about what it was all about, but I just knew that I was definitely out of ideas and needed some help, and I was so grateful to just know that it was not just me. I wasn't the only person who did these insane things with food. What a relief to find that out. And what a relief to find out that there's a way to work the steps to relieve the obsession, the mental obsession. And I really want the spiritual side of this program. I love that it's a spiritual program of action. And right now I have been struggling, and I am working with a sponsor on step one, and just remembering today that I can't think my way into right acting. I have to act my way into right thinking. And work in the feelings. The feelings will follow. That's a faith. That's a trust. And so sharing on this line is part of that, because a lot of people have shared it's a we program and I can't do this alone. And my head gets pretty crazy when I'm trying. So that's all I have. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Michelle. Okay, before I take the last person, I just want to let the newcomers know that we will conclude the recording of this meeting in about 3 minutes after this last share. Please stay on the line, and if you've never announced yourself, we want to hear from you, and we want to get your contact information so we can reach out and support you in our outreach. All right, who would like to be the last share today?
I will. My name is Barbara S. from New York.
Okay, I heard somebody before Barbara.
Rowena K.
Go ahead, Rowena.
Hi, my name's Rowena. Thank you so much for letting me share. When I read these sentences regarding the religious affiliation, it just reminds me of when I fill out job applications and they ask for what my religion is, and I always tick the box that says other, because although I know that OA isn't a religion, it's my religion. It's become my religion. And I haven't been practicing recently. And up until yesterday, I was in the food. And so I've just kind of tried to get over my ego today and come on the line and be able to say that. I was lucky enough to get a sponsor from this line yesterday. Someone agreed to sponsor me. And, you know, I'm in and out of OA. But when I come back, nothing's changed. I mean, the program is still exactly the same. The big book is still exactly the same. And if I've learned anything from, you know, being in the food as recently as yesterday, then it's that, you know, if I don't work the program, I don't stay abstinent. And it's, you know, it doesn't matter what, you know, what happens in life, in my life. If I don't have OA as a backdrop, then I'm completely lost. And, you know, and they say that the disease, you know, it affects all of us and it doesn't care about, you know, what race we are, what religion. But I also think that my disease doesn't care how I feel, you know, so, and it's there regardless of how I'm feeling, you know, good, bad, happy. It's just, I just have to keep coming back. And thank you for letting me share, and to everybody that does service, I'm really, really grateful. I'll pass.
Thank you, Rowena Kay. All right, you will be our last share today. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Tessa Q please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hi, I'm Tessa Q. I'm a compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road to happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.